Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just shut your eyes. We're going to pray. Thank you, Father. Father, I submit myself to you. My God, my Lord, my Savior, my everything. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to every single one of us in this place. Heavenly Father, let your word go forth, impact us, change us. Father, I pray that every limitation will be broken off every one of us. And Father, have your way, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Just while you remain standing, I just want us, just God stirred on my heart as I was praying yesterday. For the people, those of you that are listening by podcast, those of you that are watching this on YouTube right now, everyone here in Harvest, I want you to shut your eyes and just reach out your hands towards either a speaker or a camera. And right now, we're going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for your plans and purposes. For every man, every woman, every young person who's listening right now by podcast, who's watching by YouTube, Father, I pray that you would speak into the circumstances of each one's lives. Father, you know what they're facing. You know what's happening. Lord God, minister to each one. Let them know your love like never before. And everyone in Harvest Church said, amen and amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, there's no place like the presence of God. I was asking my daughter this morning as we were driving in, I said, what's the most amazing experience you've ever had with God? You know, what's the most extraordinary time you've ever had so far? And she said, Mummy, and she said it so quickly. Because when we encounter God, we never forget it. And she said, Mummy, it was day 3 at Soul Survivor. She said, the praise and worship was so awesome. I said, was it during the praise or the worship? She said, during the worship. She said, God came in a way that I've never experienced him before. You know, when we encounter God, we never forget it. We might forget everything else that happened before or after, but it impacts us. And you know, I want to encourage you to always have that aim that you will meet with God, that you will experience him, his presence, his touch in your life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, we're going to look for a little while today at King David. And you know, it's really interesting. Hello. Good to see you, Uncle Joe. Praise God. You know, when we think about people in the Bible, you know, so many times there's certain characters that will warm most people's hearts. And how many of you just love King David? Right. Yeah? Well, you know, there's an important principle that says, you know, you'll know them by their fruit. But let me tell you something I really believe, that we know them by their fruit, but we love them because of their failings. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, when people are willing to be open and real, and when we see them warts and all, suddenly we know, do you know what? There's somebody I can relate to. So one of the reasons I love King David so much, one of the reasons I love Peter so much, is not because of his amazing victories, just me being real. It's because of when he failed. You know, and when we see failings in Scripture, they're there so that you and I can learn from them. You know, my husband's definition of wisdom, and I saw Michael Hyatt, one of my kind of, you know, online mentors. Get some online mentors. Follow some people online who are going to shape you, increase you, who you're going to learn from. And he quoted just about a week ago what my husband said 10 years ago. So anyway, but my husband's definition of wisdom is the ability to learn from other people's mistakes. Isn't that good? It's great when we learn from our own mistakes. But it's even better. Amen? To learn from someone else's. You see, David, there are two times when he messed up badly. You know, it's one thing to mess up. I mean, I mess up too often. Amen? Yeah. Hey, why did you say amen? I'm joking. But, you know, sometimes we mess up really badly. And David did. And he did it twice. And I want us to look, and we're going to go on a journey today, but I want us to look at what these two mess-ups had in common. And the first scripture I want to turn to is 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And this is something, this is the context given to us about the time before David committed adultery. You remember the story? You know, you don't get saved more than 5 minutes before realizing that one of, you know, the greatest leaders of the Old Testament really, really tanked a couple of times. And this is one of them. And so this is the context that we're given. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David, the king, sent Joab and his servants and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Now I want us to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. Now, the second time that David messed up, you might not know quite as immediately and instinctively. But you see, you know, one of the most important things to God is that we follow his leading, that we're always looking to him to be our strength. And we're not trying to rely on our own gifts, our own talents, our own ability to come through in the end. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you see, this was the time when David numbered Israel. God didn't ask him to, but all that we can really imagine from looking at this story is that David was starting to feel insecure. Anyone here ever felt insecure? And as a result of his insecurity, he started to look, well, you know what, there's all these nations around us getting really strong. You know, we don't know, maybe one of the nations had just kind of bought in a whole lot of new armor or bought a whole load of new chariots. Who knows? But something made David feel insecure, and he said, I better count how many people I've got because I need to find out whether we can actually defend ourselves. And that was the second major mistake that David made. And when did that happen? Let's have that back up there again, please. It happened, if you think I've already read this, don't you? 1 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time kings go out to battle, that Joab led out the armed forces and ravaged the country of the people of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. So David made two mistakes that had horrible consequences, which we'll come on to in a moment. And each of those mistakes were made at the same time of year. And as a result, we can easily deduce of the same issue. He stayed at home when he was supposed to be out at battle. You know, one of the most important things that you and I can get a revelation of, that we need to be at the right place at the right time. I need to be at the right place at the right time. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. You know, David fought more wars. He led more armies out to battle. He'd killed giants. He'd gone out and killed thousands and tens of thousands, according to the word. Are you hearing me? Yeah. He was a warrior. He worked hard. So didn't he deserve a break? You're allowed to talk to me. Did David deserve a rest? Yes. There's times that you and I feel, do you know what? I've just fought one battle too many. Ever felt that? I've had enough of fighting. Anyone ever felt like that? I just want to put my sword down for a while. I want to put my shield down for a while and put my feet up. Anyone ever felt like that? Are you hearing me? But you know, sometimes it's God's will that we go out to fight just one more time. Are you hearing me? You see, the safest place for David to have been would have been in the center of a fierce battle. You know, and one of the things as well, you see, have you ever noticed that when you get up again, say again, and fight when you're tired? Anyone ever done that? When you get up again, say again, and you fight when you're tired, do you know what happens? You come out the other end with a strength that you did not have when you went in. You know, David deserved a break. He was tired. You know, why not put your feet up every now and then? You know, sit on the sofa, time at home. But you know, there is something about being in the right place at the right time that brings a protection. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You see, when we withdraw ourselves from the perfect purposes of God, I want you to look at 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1. Now this is what Satan did when David stayed at home. Are you hearing me? It says, now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. What am I saying? You see, there's something about being in the right place at the right time that brings a protection. But when I step out of the perfect will of God, he wasn't sinning. He was just at home. Are you hearing me? He just decided not to go to church that day. Whoops, don't go there. He just decided, you know what, I'm too tired. I was out late last night. I'm just going to sleep in on Sunday morning, put my feet up. I'll watch God TV or TBN. You know, I'll get roused and stirred up by, are you hearing me? But he wasn't in the right place at the right time. And as a result, he had opened the door to a level of temptation that we don't see elsewhere. Satan somehow was given permission to stand up against Israel. And he was able to, if you read that word moved, in some translations it says that Satan stirred David. In others he moved them. In others he provoked David. There's a level of temptation that we end up subjecting ourselves to when we are outside of the perfect will of God. Are you hearing me? And so here was David, suddenly exposed and vulnerable. And you know, because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, he committed adultery, slept with a woman, all other sorts of consequences that went on as a result of that, and his baby died. You know, I don't know whether you've ever lost a child, but it hurts. You know, seeing your own flesh and blood just gone dead. I remember I didn't really understand death. I'd seen a dead person before I saw my own child die. But there's something about death and someone you love, and suddenly you realize it's all true. Like death happens. You know, and David lost his own child. But you know, when he numbered Israel, 70,000 people lost their lives. You know, when I'm not where I'm supposed to be, stuff's going to happen. Do you know, I was really thinking about Toby this morning. Where are you, Toby? You know, I thank God for when we choose to be in the right place. Are you hearing me? I thank God for when we get out of our comfort zone, and however hard it is, that we allow ourselves to be transformed by God. Because, you know, when I first met this woman, tell the truth, Toby, she couldn't even look me in the eyes. If I tried to talk to her, she'd be like, hello, Pastor Joe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that girl could not look me in the eyes. Am I telling the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And do you know, she just made some decisions that she was going to allow God to deal with the deep issues in her heart. You know, why couldn't she look me in the eye? You know, for someone you can't look in the eye, there's got to be a reason. And she felt every time I looked her in the eye, I think what she told me was she felt I was looking into her soul. She was like, you're not welcome there. I'm not having no one look down into my soul. Well, I wasn't. I was just looking into her eyes. You know, but she put herself in the place where she had to be in order to allow God to do that work. And, you know, as a result, how many of you love it when Toby leads worship? You know, this woman, she carries an anointing. She's coming with me. I'm so privileged and honored. She's coming with me to America in June. And she's going to lead worship there. You know, when you make a decision and you say, I'm going to place myself at the right place, even if it hurts, even if I have to get up when I'm exhausted, even if I need to put myself under some pain, are you hearing me? If you just say, I'm going to do what it takes, oh my goodness, there's nothing like the experience of stepping into your purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, there's something else I want us to see here. You see, sometimes you may think it's just too hard. Anyone ever felt that? Honestly, I have. Wave at me if you've ever felt it's just too hard. You know, there was a high price that David had to pay all those years when he was living in a cave. Do you remember? Anyone here ever lived in a cave? Wow. Yeah, my husband has, yeah. Yeah. I remember the day when he got out a huge sledgehammer and smashed up his cave and didn't go back there mainly. That's for another day. But you see, David lived in a cave for years. He slept rough. He was on the run for years. He paid a high price. Are you hearing me? Sometimes you might feel it's just too hard. You know, some of you, you're in cycles and you keep feeling that you're going round and round the same old mountain. You know, I remember when Roro used to go from one cycle to another, and one year it came to January and she said, I've had enough of cycles. I remember it so clearly. What, about 5 years ago? She said, that's it. She said, I'm fasting the whole of January until these cycles are broken off of my life. Are you hearing me? You see, was that comfortable? Anyone here enjoy fasting? I want to meet you, shake your hand, and ask you to lay hands on me. Whenever I hear the Lord leading me into a fast, I'm going, no, 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 that's probably not God. I think that's not God. No, 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 no. Oh, well, here we go again, you know, because it's not pleasant. Who else enjoys food? But, you know, she just decided, I'm not willing to stay the same. And you see, the point I want to make is you might feel that the price of fulfilling your purpose is very high. How many of you feel that? It's high. But the price of not paying the price is even higher. Shall I say that again? The price of fulfilling your purpose may feel very high. It may cause you to have to forgive people who've really hurt you. It may cause you have to be nice to people. You know, sometimes that's really hard when you just want to say, you're just horrible. Has anyone ever felt like saying that to someone? Look, you know, I might look like a really sweet person, but you know, it wasn't that long ago. And I won't say much more than that or else it might give it away. But literally, I was looking at someone thinking, is it just me or is this one of the most just mean, horrible human beings ever? And I wanted to go, just shut up, you're horrible. Clearly you've never, ever, ever thought that before. And I'm just looking. But there's something about the call of God in my life. And I'm thinking about that while I'm wanting to say you're a horrible person. Are you hearing me? I'm thinking about how God wants to use me and how if I allow my flesh to have its way, then I discredit the anointing. I discredit God himself because I'm his rep. You know, as ambassadors, we represent him. And you know, it's not always love that constrains me. You know, the Bible says the love of God constrains us. Well, it's not always love for that person that constrains me. Let me give you an example last night. I was just like, you know, I was just not in the mood for my husband to be in one of those moods. Anyone ever had that? I wasn't in the mood for the type of mood he was in. And he was in this playful, let me tell my wife what to do mood. Right? You know, how many wives like it when your husband's in a playful, let me tell you what to do mood? No, I was not in the mood for that. I was in the mood for the kind of, let me bless and love and cherish my wife kind of mood. That was the mood I wanted. So here we are in the sitting room and I'd got up, you know, with one thing and he's saying, take the tray, sweetheart. Okay. So I walk back into the sitting room, stoop down, and the other one. Now, I'm really not in the mood for this. I'm in the mood for him saying, Benji, help your mother. I'm in that mood. Are you hearing me? I'm in the mood for him to say, Abby, come on, get up. Can you not see your mother hasn't got three hands? And he said, don't worry, you'll find a way. Now, the fact that I was trained as a silver service waitress is nothing to do with it. So I do now have to have plates piled up my arm. So there I am. But you see, it wasn't this incredible love for my husband that constrained me. Are you hearing me? It was my purpose. It was knowing I've got to lead people somewhere. I've got to have an integrity. I can't do what God wants me to do unless I'm willing to just kill the flesh when the flesh feels like raising its head. Are you hearing me? Do you know what? I was talking to someone recently and I said to him, I said, you know, one of the things I've realized that you hate most, there's two things you hate. Someone feeding you food that you don't like. This is a man and he loves his food. And I said, and secondly, you hate being patronized. They're the two things that will just make him, this guy. And I said to him, but you know what? How many of you don't like being patronized? Wave at me. Right. Do you know what? I said to him, but you know what? I said, being patronized is so good for you. It's so good for the flesh being made to sound and look and feel small. Are you hearing me? You know, and it's for the sake of our purpose. There's times when my husband seems to just deliberately recollect the words given to him by prophets standing at this pulpit saying, be tough on her. And I'm like, no, can you remember the other words? Do you remember, my love, when God told you to marry me? He said, you're going to love her. You're going to take care of her. And then he remembers the be tough on her. You know, but it's, you see, the price might feel high. I don't know the things that you have to overcome in your own life to be in the right place at the right time. The price might feel high, but the price of not paying the price is so, so, so much higher. Hallelujah. You see, it's not just being in the right place, it's also doing the right thing. You know, David had a mandate from God. He was a kingdom warrior. He was called to fight. God gave him every ability and gift to fight. He was a kingdom warrior. Are you hearing me? Solomon was a kingdom builder. And you know what? Whenever David was fighting and waging wars, he was staying in the purposes of God. Are you hearing me? Whenever Solomon was building the temple, building houses, building cities in order to extend the kingdom, he was in the right place with God. When you fulfill your mandate, it keeps you on the straight and narrow. Are you hearing me? You know, the title of my message today is The Power of Your Purpose. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. And while you stay focused on fulfilling your purpose. It will keep you progressing. It will keep you prospering. It will keep you pure. It will keep you passionate about the right stuff. Your purpose provides you with power. Amen. You know, all the while David was fulfilling his purpose, no one was, well, people were dying, but his children weren't dying. Amen. Are you hearing me? You know, one of the things I'm so conscious of, you know, if you are a parent, every battle that you fight, your children won't have to fight. Every giant that you leave unslaughtered, they will face one day, and they will have to fight that giant, that battle. There is something so important about knowing our purpose and then fulfilling it. You know, and you know something God spoke to me is it's not just about the big picture. Some of you here, you'll know absolutely what your purpose is. Some of you do. Amen? Wave at me. If you know your big picture purpose, you know what you're supposed to be doing, right? You know, sometimes we know that. Sometimes we're not yet sure because purpose unfolds. But you know, it's not just about the big picture. Sometimes the big picture purpose, you can say, well, I know I'm called to bring, you know, I'm called to bring the love of God to the people of the 80-20 window or the 20-40 window. You know, you might say, I know, but you see, what's your purpose today? Are you hearing me? You know, our big picture purpose is only accomplished when we accomplish day by day exactly what we're called to do today. What does God want you to accomplish today? Tomorrow? What's the now goal? You know, it's so easy to think, oh, well, you know, we've got to, I feel this sometimes because I know that God has called me to bring his healing love to the nations of the world. I know he's called me to bring an anointing of truth so that people who think they're fine will suddenly realize just how broken they really are. Yeah. Right across this world. But what's he called me to do today? You see, if I think it's only about that, then I'm not going to accomplish the things I need to today to get me there tomorrow. Are you hearing me? Make the tea, my husband says. You see what I mean? Never gives up. Hallelujah. Every time he hears me say, you know, God's called me to be a servant, he goes, amen, and then gives me another job. Hallelujah. You know, there is something that God wants you to get on the inside. He wants you to become so full of that sense of purpose. He wants to use your purpose to envision you. He wants to use your purpose to release you, to keep you pure, to keep you going in the right direction, to keep you making day by day right decisions. But you see, there's something else that just blows my mind. You know, Solomon was a direct fruit of David's mess up. Are you hearing me? You know, when David committed adultery, when he looked from the rooftop and he feasted his eyes on that woman, there was nothing about what he did that was right. There was nothing about the series of actions and decisions he made over the following weeks, possibly months, we don't know how long it took, that was right. Everything about that was a mess. Everything about that was letting God down. Are you hearing me? But you see, God is this just extraordinary God of redemption. And I want to announce to you today, you might be sitting there saying, I've done a David. You might be sitting there today saying, someone else has done a David to me. Right. Maybe you feel like Uriah the Hittite. That was Bathsheba's first husband. Maybe you feel like someone has literally robbed from you, taken what mattered most, trampled over your heart, given no consideration to your feelings. But God is the God of the turnaround. God is the God who says, do you know what, David? You may have messed up, but not only am I going to turn it around for you? I'm going to comfort you as you go through the grief of the consequences of your mess up. Are you hearing me? You know, David received comfort from God after his baby died. Isn't that extraordinary? But then David and his wife, Bathsheba, out of that relationship came a young man called Solomon. And I want you to read a scripture with me about God's view of Solomon. And we're going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says, "Now Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him exceedingly." Say exceedingly. Solomon was the fruit of sin. Are you hearing me? Some of you right now are sitting there and there have been things that have happened and you just can't figure out how anything good can come of it. You look at the situation and you feel completely trapped by it. But you know, when we will surrender everything to God, when we will say, "God, I'm going to fall onto the rock. I'm going to fall onto the one who's able. He is the one who will bring a turnaround." God blessed Solomon exceedingly, and he exalted him. Solomon's name means peace. Out of this horrible mess came a man who was able to preside over the most peaceful kingdom in Israel's history. Are you hearing me? When Solomon's day, the Bible says that silver was as common as stones. Stones. Are you hearing me? You know, I don't know what it is that has happened in your life. I don't know what it is that you may feel that you've done that is just too much. But the Lord is able to turn it around. He's able to bring good out of that which was a complete and utter mess. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know, right now here today, I believe that God is wanting to stir your purpose within you. Some of you thought that the things that have happened have discounted your purpose. But the Lord wants you to recognize that there's nothing that He can't turn around for good. The only thing that keeps it out of His reach is if we don't hand it over. If we hold on, He can't take it. But the moment that we allow God into every single area, then He's able to bring the turnaround. Thank you, Jesus. Just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, some of you have felt stumped and stunted by something that you've done or something that was done to you. And it's kept you bound in a place where you felt, "I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to enter in anymore. I'm going to hold back." But the Lord is saying today that if you will release that to Him, He can bring about the most amazing turnaround. You haven't even got a clue how He'll do it, but He's able. And just surrender your life once again to Him. Surrender. Thank you, Jesus. And then others, He's saying to you that He wants to inject you with a fresh sense of your purpose. And He has a purpose for you right now. Your purpose has the power to keep you bang in the center of the plans of God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for every single person here. If you're saying that you just want to really allow God, you're saying, God, I'm going to be in the right place. I'm going to do what you've called me to do, no matter what the price. Just lift up your hands in the presence of God right now. You're saying, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to continue when I feel like giving up. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for fresh vision in each of your people's hearts, for a fresh touch of your spirit. Father, I pray for those dreams that have died, for those dreams that have been cast aside. Father, I speak life to every dream. I speak life into every purpose in this place. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I speak your blessing over each one. Father, I pray that we would be those who will always be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Father, I pray that you would give us such a sense of urgency about sticking to your plan day in, day out. And Father, whatever you've called each one of us to do today and tomorrow, Father, I pray that each one of us will day by day follow your leading. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, Amen.